Now, I'm going to hit the message, but I've got to tell you, I've been getting a lot of texts from some of my very good friends, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, to turn this on here. Is this all fired up? Is my confidence monitor working today? Because right now I have a choice between Netflix, Prime Video, and YouTube. It's not looking good. Stay there, David. It's all right. Is anybody else getting texts from those politicians? Is it and driving anybody else crazy? I'm going to lose my mind. What did they get us for our birthday? Now they want something from us? Does this make sense to you? We're really not that close. I feel like they're using us. I'm being a little facetious. The texts, it's raining texts and emails. I went to my mailbox the other day. This was a few weeks ago. This is when I first turned on to this awareness. I'm getting the mailers, the flyers. And I'm getting multiple flyers the same day from the same person, all addressed to me. How many James Susslers do they think lives at my address? It's like they're yelling it at me. Read this flyer and then read it again, then read it again. I don't understand. I'll read one flyer about how bad this candidate is, and then one flyer saying how bad the other candidate is. It's messing with my mind, and I genuinely think I'm just ready for the election. Let's just get on with life here. I mean, it's the commercials. Living in a battleground state for the commercials is brutal. And the candidate with the most money generally plays the most commercials, but I don't want to see either one of them anymore. I'm sure they're very lovely commercials, but we're at the point now, my wife and I will be watching TV and a commercial will come on. I'll just hit mute, and we look at each other. So I think I've had it to there. I want the election done. Now, I'm not taking away. It's important to vote. Please do go vote. I'm not speaking against our political opportunity to vote. What I am speaking against is the incessant blah. You know what I mean by that? By that word blah? That's how I feel. All right, let's take a vote. Who else feels the blah? Yes, most of us in the room. Again, I'm not taking away from voting. Go vote. This is a nuts time. I've heard, and I'm not really speaking about politics today, but I want to introduce my message through a political lens. I've heard religious leaders from all three faiths. I've listened to a speech from people from Muslims and how they feel about politics, and I've listened to them about from the Jewish community, both the Orthodox and then Reform rabbis, and then of course pastors. I've heard pastors. And pastors who are very strongly Democratic and pastors who are very strongly Republican. And all of them cite the scriptures. Whatever there's, if it's a Muslim, they're citing the Quran. And everybody else will cite, you know, what we know as the Bible, the Old Testament or whatever. And it's amazing to me how all of them can be like hammering it. You know what you have to do? Well, yes, vote because the Bible is what is the base for our voting. We need to look at the scriptures. So at Beth Messiah, I'll tell you what's most important to me personally. And this is not the thing, well, this is what I voted for for years and years and years. This is my most important platform. More important, most places will say, you know, social causes or abortion. Not me. Me, it's Israel. Whoever supports Israel the most gets my vote. And you think, well, what about everything else? Hey, I'm just telling my thing. You don't want to vote for what I'm voting for. That's fine. I'm telling you that's what I would vote for. And then I stack up my other things. I don't believe in abortion. I think that's bad. I think it's been bad since the first time it happened. It's been bad all the way till today. There's nothing good about it whatsoever. But I do want Israel. And the challenge is listening to everybody. And sometimes, you know, I've heard people make good arguments from all these different sides. And it really messes with my brain. I can't be the only one who feels like this. Now, I know what I'm going to vote for. In fact, I've already voted. But it's an interesting journey. One of the challenges we have here in America, I think, is being assaulted with targeted ads toward us. You know, people know what we do. If you go online, I read a lot of my news online, and I'll go to Apple News. I get Apple News. So I don't know if anyone else does that, or I'll go to other news sources. They track every time somebody opens an article. And they track how long somebody reads that article. So they pull the metrics off that. So they send more articles from that. There's an algorithm they build. and they'll send you more articles and me more articles based on what we read. And how long we read it. Is this a topic that they're interested in? If we're interested into a topic, they'll write more topics on, they'll write more articles on that topic because they know it will drive up their revenue. They'll drive up their readers or whatever, which ultimately is revenue. So we can't even look at our phone without it being biased toward us. Everything that we do nowadays is becoming increasingly knowledgeable about the bias toward us. I've taken flights to different parts of the world, and I'm shocked sometimes when I start to get ads popping up in my email unrelated to anything I've ever done before, but in those parts of the world. So I've been to Nepal. All of a sudden, I start getting hotel advertisements from Nepal. I've been to different parts of Europe, and I'll get hotel advertisements. I've had tour companies, you know, that does tour things in different countries, start to send me ads for, hey, we know that you love Denmark. I was there one time. But all of a sudden, these emails start popping up saying, you're going back to Denmark. I don't know that I'm going back to Denmark. But they target. And they know us. And I think we're living in a time that our identity is becoming very pronounced. Much of the LGBTQ scene is much about a pronounced identity. How do you feel? How do you identify? Politically, how do you identify? Studies are telling us that we will hang out with people now who vote only in our political party. We don't like to cross over. We don't like to have people in the other political party anymore in America, in our social group. Nowadays in America, we only like the same political party in our social group. It wasn't like that 30 years ago, 20 years ago. But it's like that now, more and more and more. Republicans all hang as a gaggle. And Democrats all hang as a gaggle. And less the two cross. I will say this. Here, we have Republicans and Democrats. You should know that. Most Jews in America, about 75%, are Democrats. So you should know it. If we go in the evangelical community, most evangelicals are Republican. Most Catholics, believe it or not, are Republican. And I'm saying that because I think so many people lump Catholics into social causes, but most Catholics are Republican. These identity things that we're going through can be very challenging. Social media is brutal on teenagers, but that's an identity issue. Shakes up who they think they are. Suicide rates are really high for young women that spend a lot of time online because their identity's shaken. They don't look like so-and-so. They don't sound like such-and-such, and they think their life is worthless. And it's a really brutal thing. So we're living in an era that identity is always hard for people anyway, but I think it's particularly pronounced right now because of what we have with technology and how people are viewing what goes on. Again, technology through politics, media, news, whatever electronic vehicle our news brings. It's a nuts time. So I want to speak on something a little bit counter to that, and I will tell you that I'm really in a challenge knowing how to read this today because I don't have a confidence monitor that's working and I don't have notes that are readable. So I'm going to try to put some slides on and I want you just to bear with me recognizing we're new in a room. Does that sound okay? Okay. Woof! And he descended. Because he first ascended. Sorry, that was just fun there. I'm not saying I'm God, I'm just having fun. Now remember, our identity is being assaulted right now, really big time with politics especially, but with all kinds of stuff. John 10:10. I am at the door. This is Yeshua talking. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Thank you, Yeshua. He's the one guy to guarantee this. If he says it, it's true, because he can't lie. And we'll come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. This word life is what I want to speak to. Because I think with the identity all as hijacked as it is right now, and how people hammer our identity and target our identity and push our identity and tell us what our identity is. Do you know there's a whole trend right now for young people where they're listening to their friends tell them what their sexual identity is? So this is a thing, and somebody will go, and I know personally where this has happened. I know And I won't, I'll say it like this. When people are young, if it's a boy and they seem a bit less masculine, you know, because they're young, they're just a boy. Sometimes people will say, oh, is your son gay? And they start to speak into, and they're hammering an identity. The boy is just a boy. What does the boy know? So we're going through this stuff with identity, and it really affects our life, and our whole sense of life is an identity issue. The decisions we make are identity. When I lived in Alaska as a kid, they dressed one way. When we moved to Milwaukee, something else was in style. I mean, basically, it was jeans. But there was other things that were in style in Milwaukee that were a little bit different than Alaska. Far enough away where people dressed a little bit differently. The Alaskan tuxedo is also known as denim. So we come here and you go to a wedding in Milwaukee and people, they dress up in weddings for the most part here. In Alaska, they put on their tuxedo, you know what I mean? The denim tuxedo. So they dress a little differently. Our decisions in life and the things that we think are important to us are affected. They affect so much how we pick a job, the neighborhood we live in, the kind of car we buy. A lot of people say, I don't care what car I'm going to buy. But there are some people, their identity says they shouldn't care about what the kind of car they're going to buy. So when Yeshua comes along and says, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance, that word life is really important because it speaks to identity. It comes from a Greek word that says, that's Zoe. The Greek word Zoe. And that word Zoe is used in the scriptures in the New Covenant, I believe it's 122 times, over 100 times. And it's saying something very different than our word of life. When we think of life, we think, oh, we accept Yeshua, and now we have life or eternal life. Zoe means something a little different. When Yeshua says, I have come so that they may have life, that they may have Zoe, I have come so they may have a God-abundant life. And that becomes our identity. And we leave from this to this. Let me give you an illustration. When I married my wife, other than the fact we were both really young and didn't know what we were doing, we're in love, and it was the best decision I ever made. It was the best decision. I mean, I accepted the Lord, that was the best. But I mean, in terms of being a human being. And I married my wife, and it was a great wedding, and everything was good. And all we did was get married that day. That's all we did. That day we got married, I stood up in front of a room. I said, I do. She said, I do. And then we went, we had dinner, and we went about our married life. All we did that day was get married. Are you tracking with me? Just a ceremony. We did nothing but just have a ceremony. That's it, just a ceremony. We actually had no clue what a married life was. We had no clue what it was to continue to come together, to share a checkbook. I mean, really share it. Somebody wants to buy something expensive. You know, I always wanted to upgrade my stereo. Anybody remember the stereo era? Oh, Leah, don't you think we need a new receiver? No, I think we need food. No. A receiver makes it all better, you see. So we had to continue to come together. And so we've been married now for a while. I would say 2 years. She would say 400. And it's long enough where we realize that we're still coming together. We have a lot to learn. This is the same kind of concept. We come to the Lord. We say, Lord, I will follow you. Yeshua, you're my guy. I will be your disciple. I'll be your Talmudim. I'm going to follow. All we did was start it off. But this is what we get with our Zoe life. These are just a few things. Purpose. Purpose. Do you know our purpose is not our career? Sometimes people retire, and I've known this with, frankly, mostly men. And when they retire, they go, I have no purpose anymore. I'm useless. I float around and I have nothing to do. They're struggling with purpose. Our purpose is in the Zoe life is walking out that God abundance. And there's more to it than this. I'm just giving you a high-level look, but we're starting off. Shalom and community, two separate things. We could say peace comes in the Zoe life, but it's more than peace. Peace we associate with just feeling good in that time. Shalom is we feel we are okay on the inside, even in the worst of times. Shalom transcends peace. Sometimes people say there needs to be peace in the world. I agree. But that just means a cessation of hostilities, no more hostilities. Shalom is from what he's doing inside. It enables us to ride in the worst storms in life. And it keeps us centered in the best times in life. Sometimes the best times trick us, thinking that we got it all figured out. Really, we don't. Community. God has purposed us for community. That's part of the Zoe life. We need to be together. We need to develop together. We develop by being with each other. We develop by caring for each other. Body ministry, one for another. We do that here. It's very important. We need it for companionship. Whether we're single or married, married or single, doesn't matter. We need to be together. And hope. This hope is a different kind of hope. It's not wishful thinking. This is not saying, I hope someday I win the lottery. I hope someday there's a real God. No, this is a hope saying, I know there's a God. I just don't know the details of it. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know what heaven looks like, but I know he's there in his throne room. I know the Ruach is inside and Yeshua is at the right hand of the Father. I know that. I just don't know what it looks like. And the best we can get to reading Isaiah 6 and John's description of the throne room in Revelation. But that's good enough for me. That's my hope. And what that means is I have a firm foundation, even though I don't know the details. And these are just some parts of a Zoe life. When we hear about next Shabbat, we're going to know who the president is. And some people in this room are going to be very sad. And I'm going to say, thank you, God, for the hope. Because we don't know what you do up there, but we know that nobody becomes president unless they pass by your throne room for approval. There's no accidental presidents. There's at no point in the history does God in heaven go, oh, I never saw that one coming. What do you mean this person won? Great, that blows up my plans. He doesn't do that. And that hope anchors us to the fact that he does know what he's doing. Okay, so this is our Zoe life. These are all good things. In good days and bad days, these are things we deal with in the Zoe life. These are blessing things. And Yeshua came that we could have this Zoe more abundantly. When you're looking in the Bible, if you see that word life in the New Covenant, there's a very good chance that word life is Zoe. Let it jump out at you. Read the context. Sometimes you see somebody's life is ended. That's not Zoe, obviously. But it's over 100 times, and it's something to watch for. Why don't we all get it? If Zoe's so good, why is it such a challenge for us? I want to read this parable. It's not really a parable, actually. It's a situation that Yeshua had with this young rich guy. Mark 10, Yeshua was setting out in his own way. A man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and asked, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is kind of cool. That word life is literally Zoe. So this rich guy is saying, what do I do to inherit this Zoe that we just talked about? These good things. How do I get these good things? How do I live a God-abundant life? Even in the face of all the storms, it's going to be okay because I know God's with me. How do I know? Why do you call me good? Yeshua said to him. No one else is good except one, and that's God. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not cheat. Honor your father and mother. In other words, he's starting to list all these things. You've got to do these things if you're going to be propelled toward this Zoe life. The man responded, teacher, all these things I've kept since my youth. This guy is already good, but still it's not enough. Looking at him, Yeshua loved him. Isn't that a great? I just want to point this out. Yeshua wasn't being critical of this guy. He was being very, very loving on this guy. He was trying to steer this guy. Yeshua loved him and said, one thing you lack, go, sell as much as you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But at this statement, the man became sad, went on his way grieving, for he had much property. It's so slow and arduous sometimes to follow the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you ever feel like you do the same thing, but you're not noticing any change? Anybody? The things of the world clash so much with following the Lord. We live in America where it says you got to have a nice car. You'll know you're successful if you have a nice car, if you have a nice house, if you dress a certain way. This is what our society says. If you don't have these things in America, you're not as successful. You might be okay successful, but not as successful. If you're rolling a Bentley or Ferrari, you've been really good. You're very good. You're very good. If you vacation 3 times a year all over the world, you're really good. This is what our society would say. But the Lord doesn't say any of that. That's not a Zoe life. If we would reimagine those that screen that we just looked at, a Zoe life is about those other things. And the rich young man being successful was thinking, you know, he was stuck on the fact that he had stuff. And he couldn't get past that. And sometimes we get stuck on stuff and we slow our own walk down. We get stuck on something. We're so busy for a young person, men or women, and they're really career focused. So often they'll say, well, I want a Zoe life, but I have to figure my career out. If you focus on God, your career usually falls in place. But they'll be so fixated on this, and they'll work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then I'll say, well, how often do you pray? I don't have time. Well, you want a Zoe life, but you don't want to do the Zoe things. The rich young man had to walk away from the value of wealth. He had to do it in order to understand the Zoe life. It doesn't mean we can't be wealthy. What Yeshua was telling him was that it's more than being wealthy. It's not about money. You got to let go of this stuff in order to really focus on what matters. The second thing I want to point out, this is what slows us down from a Zoe life. 2 Peter 3, instead, keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Yeshua, the Messiah. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It's a journey. We have to embrace the journey. We are so brutal to ourselves. I'll give an example. I hear this a lot. In fact, some of you in the room have said this to me. I'm sure my dad's heard it for years. I'm confident that you have felt this way. I believe everybody in the room has felt the way I'm going to describe people approaching me, a topic people approaching me with. People will feel bad because they made a mistake. It could be a bad mistake. I've heard so many kinds of mistakes, it's not funny. I've heard mistakes from men who were aggressive toward women. I've heard mistakes from women who didn't do something they should have done or did something they shouldn't have done. I've heard about people who had abortions done in private. They think nobody knows and now they feel total shame. I've heard about men and women who have been in affairs or been in affairs with people who have maybe they're single, they've been with somebody who was in an affair. I've heard of people who are kleptos. I mean, genuine kleptomaniacs. And they steal anything not glued down. Some people have been arrested. I know multiple somebodies who have been arrested for consulting prostitutes. You get the idea here? I've heard some big whoppers of mess-ups, real big mess-ups. People with gambling addictions, of course, alcohol and drug addictions, and they feel useless. And they say, because in most cases, when I hear about it, they're already believers. They say, I know the Lord forgave me. Why did I do this? Why did I do this, this, or this, or this? Doesn't matter what they did. Anything on that spectrum. Why did I do it? Why did I ignore my family? I've heard that. And I look at them and I say, because you're a colossal screw-up. I don't know how God can ever forgive you. They think that God can't forgive them. So they make this imaginary wall, this partition between them and God. And they keep showing up for Shabbat. Or wherever they go to services, they keep showing up. And they go through all the routines of worship. And they do all of the things that they need to do to punch their ticket, even though there's this wall. They're like, well, you know, sometimes they donate extra time on ministry stuff. They say, well, yeah, I'm going to earn my way back with God. I've heard this If I just work harder on the building, then I'll be okay. And they make this criteria for themselves to be approved by God. This is not how the Zoe life works. The Zoe life works like this. You make a mistake, you ask God to forgive you, you pick yourself up, and you move on. You don't do it anymore. And if you do it again, you ask God to forgive you, pick yourself up, you move on, but you start to show progression between those mistakes. You don't do them. You separate from them because He will get you through them. The Zoe life is much bigger than just falling down. It's much bigger than having, there's no room for an imaginary wall between you and God. That's a self-imposed imaginary wall. You're beating yourself up. The Zoe life says there is no room for that. That is not how I operate. No room. We make so often those imaginary walls our identity. There's people who have beat themselves up for something they did 30 and 40 years ago because I've heard the confessions and I'm looking at them and I said, well, you got to release yourself. He has forgiven you. You're walking the Zoe life. Don't hold back. It's just a process. And this is the point of the verse. It's just a process. It's just a process. The older we get, sometimes people who are older and they seem like their whole life is all squared away. You might be the one holding on to something the longest. You might be the winner for the longest sin. And I say sin loosely. You know what I'm talking about? Anything that you built up in your life. The Zoe life is about walking out that God is with us and believing that God is with you and He loves you. And what goes on in your life and in my life is much bigger than who wins the presidential election. And it's much bigger than getting texts from our best friends, Kamala and Donald. The Zoe life is, since context for everything, we can survive after the election because we're walking a Zoe life. Do you know in the last of the last days, things are only going to get worse? If we're all bunched up about the election right now, fast forward 20 years, what's that going to be like? This is a cakewalk to what's coming. And you know how we're going to get through that? We're going to get a better grasp of the Zoe life. That God's design for how we walk with Him is very good. The yoke is light. It's going to get better with Him. Always, we have to put ourselves in a place to follow Him. We can't let careers get in the way. We can't let family get in the way. We can't let the phone calls get in the way. I'm just messing with Tom. The Zoe life is critical for us. I'm going to go back on stage now. It's hard to be discreet. One thing that we know together is that we're just doing life together. Nobody's got their life more figured out than anybody else. The challenges I had in life years ago, some of them have been cleared up, praise God, and I've got new challenges. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I don't know what it is, what age it is when we realize that we're never going to fix all of our challenges because we keep getting new ones. Maybe a new challenge is just getting older. What we learn is how to pursue God through our challenges. That God is bigger through our challenges. Then we've really learned something. Because we have challenges all the time, but Zoe, the abundant life with God and of God and by God through God, that's where it's at. So praise God for that. As we go into this election week, and as we hear what's going on in Israel, and as we try to read just an honest news article that's been biased and pushed toward us, as all of these things come to happen, praise God that the Zoe life is so much bigger. And our identity, that's our identity. The Zoe life. I'm going to talk more about identity. It'll be a slow series. We've got different speakers coming. Paul Burby, the holidays are coming. Keith Brofsky is going to be sharing soon. But I will be speaking on identity from different angles. And this is really my introduction into it. I think we're dealing at a time where identity is extremely topsy-turvy in our day. And for whatever reason, God chose us to live in this day right now and to see these identity challenges like, I think in the history of the world, we've never had before. Never like this. So please do stand up. Let's pray for us. Lord God, you do know about these things, and your word has given sense of these days to manage and how to get through. We do pray for more of that. Teach us, Lord, more of your Zoe. Teach us what it is to have an abundant life with you, to separate from the world, to start this lifetime journey with you, how to be patient with ourselves on that journey, how to forgive ourselves, how to walk through and break through these things, maybe that have held us back for years and years and years. I don't know, Lord, but I know those things have no place in Zoe. No place at all. So I pray for a sense of release, relief and release for anybody navigating these. I pray for people to walk away from misunderstandings that they've established themselves, that those walls they built themselves would fall. That people are in habitual self-destructive modes can see that they can get out of them. And then, Lord, help them get out. Help them not be victim to being victims. Teach us more of your abundant life. Thank you for your goodness. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Now, some of you, it is entirely possible that you in your life have never even established a walk with God. You've never started off anywhere and said, Lord, I will follow you. I acknowledge, Yeshua, that you are the one. You are the way to that life. If you would like to do that, today is your day. Come and see me or my dad. Dad, wave your hand. Once again, that's my dad, Rabbi Frank. And just say, you know what? I want to do that. And all we're going to do, we're going to pray with you and we're going to be so excited for you. Everybody needs to do this. Everybody needs to recognize Yeshua. And it's not me saying it, it's the word. All who call on Yeshua will be saved and will be introduced to that Zoe. It's a beautiful, wonderful, ongoing learning thing. Amen? Yovarasis Adonai voyishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha viyunecha. Yisei Adonai panav eliecha viyaseim lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Thank you, Lord, for this Zoe. Thank you, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Our elders will be here praying, and then I'll work my way off the stage. We have coffee down the hall for Oneg, and just enjoy each other's company.